Coming to you live from the international headquarters of the Christian Research Institute, you're listening to The Bible Answer Man. Your host for the program is Hank Hanegraaff. Our ministry exists to provide answers to you, to give proof of Jesus Christ as our hope of eternal life, because truth matters. As you hear today's program and you're interested in the topics discussed and you'd like to find out more, contact the Christian Research Institute at 888-7000-CRI or visit our website at www.equip.org. And now, here's the host of The Bible Answer Man, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. So many people calling in with so many crucial questions, and we are going to get to those questions a little later on in the broadcast. But I want to start off the broadcast today speaking about a little book that I want to put into your hands. It's a book titled Secure, Discovering True Financial Freedom by Rick Dunham. I wrote the foreword to this book, and in this foreword, I start to speak about an epic biblical narrative in which Paul, who has been prohibited by the Holy Spirit to go to the coastal regions of Asia, is at the same time receiving a Macedonian call. He heeds the Macedonian call, and as a result of that, he encounters Lydia in Philippi, leads her to faith in Christ, and she becomes the first European convert in history. What's interesting about this is that when she was baptized, she urged Paul and his companions to take up residence in her house. And that is noteworthy in that the Macedonian churches that arose from her conversion were enormously generous. Unlike Lydia, however, they didn't give out of their abundance, but rather gave out of their poverty. The significance should not be missed. Lydia gave out of extraordinary prosperity. The Macedonian churches, however, gave out of extreme poverty, because becoming followers of Jesus Christ meant enduring not only bitter persecutions, but the loss of social standing and financial resources. And yet, this they willingly embraced because in deep poverty, they found security that was deeper still. And that is the message of the book Secure. By all human accounts, the Macedonian believers had forfeited all that we would deem to be security, and yet from a heavenly perspective, they were the most secure of all those alive. In giving themselves along with their gifts, they had secured the favor of Almighty God. And like the widow who gave her very last coin, they had given themselves entirely into the hands of God. I want to talk about that very thing, this issue of security, because I know it's an issue that all of us struggle with. This is an issue that is written about by Rick Dunham because it comes out of the cauldron of his own struggle. And when he first put this book into my hands, I read it cover to cover, and I was absolutely mesmerized by the content. And as a result, I want to put this into your hands again all this month for your gift, Secure, Discovering True Financial Freedom, available when you write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or when you go to the World Wide Web at equip.org, or when you talk to one of our resource consultants, that number 888-7000-CRI, the author of Secure, joins me now on the broadcast. Hi, Rick.
Hi, Hank. How are you?
This is one of those books dealing with a subject that we often want to, as it were, sweep under the rug, but yet what we're encountering here is the very essence of how we can discover true financial freedom.
Yes, it is. In fact, I think one of the points that I really want to bring out in the book is the fact that security is a matter of the heart, not the pocketbook. I think too many people believe that the portfolio they have, the stuff that they can touch and feel. In fact, this is exactly what Jesus pointed to in Matthew chapter 6, is that we tend to have this inclination of our heart to want to trust the stuff that we can touch and feel, when in fact that will never provide the security we look for.
One of the great things about this little book, just jumping to the end of it, is you give us some steps that we can go through so that we can discover a new way of thinking about security.
Yeah, it really does start with your perspective. And what I point to there is Galatians 2:20, that as believers, we've been crucified with Christ. And it's no longer we're not the ones living, it's Christ living through us. And as we embrace that by faith and trust Christ to live through us, it begins to give a whole different perspective to how I can truly live out a secure life.
This book was born out of your own struggles. You went through struggles physically, you went through struggles financially, and those struggles became, as it were, an epiphany for you with respect to where you find your real security.
Yeah, they sure were. The first one was, it was my young and dumb phase of life when I was just out of seminary, 3 children, 2 house payments, thinking I had the world by the tail and lost my job. In fact, when we went through the Great Recession, that's one of the things that struck me, is that my story, I think, could maybe be helpful to others who had encountered that same situation where they had lost their job, and kind of the journey that God took me on in that process to teach me where true security really lies.
One of the things that you lay out so clearly in this book is a biblical view of money, how we are to look at money from the perspective of Jesus Christ. And this is not to suggest that we are to leave the wealth of the world in the hands of the wicked, because to do that, of course, would be foolishness. Wealth does not simply disappear because we abandon it. We're not called to abandon wealth, but to assume the responsibility of directing wealth towards the purposes of the kingdom. And therefore, as disciples of Jesus Christ who live with frugality, we not only render good service to humanity, but also to Christ who entered the human condition in the very nature of a servant. Talk about how wealth can be used by Christians, even like the Macedonian believers who gave out of their own poverty, but yet gave and as a result demonstrated that they were leaning upon the arm of God, but also demonstrating that we are not to leave the wealth of the world in the hands of the wicked.
Well, a great place to start is Matthew 25 with the parable of the talents, where Christ tells this parable about the master going away, and as he's going away entrusting 3 servants with 5 talents, 2 talents, and 1. And the parable was told for a very specific reason, because he uses the verb entrusted, that the master entrusted his wealth to these 3 servants. And it makes your point, Hank, is that at the end of the day, Christ gives us this wealth. In fact, it's what Solomon says in Ecclesiastes 5, is that God gives us the power to not only gain wealth, but then to enjoy it. So it starts with an understanding that God is putting into our trust wealth, material possessions, money, for a very specific purpose. And that purpose is to invest it on behalf of the master for kingdom purposes.
And this is one of the things, of course, that I mention in the foreword of the book, and something that you amplify throughout the book, and that is a Christian form of capitalism, which is, in essence, responsibility associated with wealth. If giving stopped today, Richard Stearns talks about this. He is the American president of World Vision. But he says if giving stopped today, just about every church and ministry would be out of business within 60 days. So again, it's so critical that resources are used so that the gospel can go out throughout the earth.
Yeah, and I often liken it to this issue of money as believers as a coin with two sides to it. On the one side is our use of that wealth for kingdom purposes to get a return on investment for the master. It's not how much money you save; it's how well you invest it for the master's purposes. The other side of the coin is our own personal relationship to Christ. Is it, as I said at the outset, is that security is a matter of the heart, not the pocketbook. And when we give our money into kingdom purposes, it demonstrates that, one, we have mastery over that money, and number two, it shows exactly where our heart really is. And that was the point that you were making about the Macedonians.
Rick, talk about one of the chapters in which you explicate the myth of stewardship.
Well, I wanted to take this issue of stewardship head on because there's a couple of ways that we define stewardship. For many Christians, if not most, they will define it as the tithe, as kind of tipping God our 10% and then doing with the rest whatever we want. And frankly, that's not biblical stewardship. And the other way that we think about it is doing stuff on the cheap. The more money I can save, the better steward I am. When in fact, what Jesus really condemned in the parable of the talents was the one servant who buried it, saved it, and then returned it to the master with no return on investment. The point he's making there is he wants that return. He wants us to put it out at risk. He wants us to have the sense of urgency to our giving, and in doing so, to see this return for the master and for the kingdom.
Rick Stearns, president that I just mentioned of World Vision U.S., says this may be the most important book you read this year. In fact, I plan to read it once a year. How can a book on security dealing with a biblical view of wealth be one of the most important books that someone could read?
Well, I think it's because money is not benign. It is power. It is powerful. It's the one thing that can control every human being. For the person who's poor, they live every day trying to find just enough money to put food on the table to feed their family. For the extremely wealthy, the top 0.5% in the world, they're completely controlled by their money. Money is power, and it's a powerful control. And what Jesus is warning us throughout Scripture, especially in Matthew 6, is that it will vie for our hearts. And I think we have to have a remedy to that, and I think that's what Rich was pointing to.
And Jesus, you just mentioned, makes so clear that we cannot serve both God and money. There is, in fact, a choice that we have to make. So we can use money for the kingdom, but we can never be a slave to money.
That's exactly right. In fact, I think most Christians, if I can be so bold today, especially in the Western world, try to live with one foot in both worlds, where they declare that they're not really worshiping money, and they'll give their little bit to church or to a ministry like a CRI. But then, in fact, when you look at their financial priorities, they're living in heavy consumer debt, they're living beyond their means, and in fact, money has a control over their life that they're not even recognizing.
You say that God wants us to know true financial freedom, to live a life that is fully at peace, no longer under the weight of worry over money, to know deep within that you are truly secure. Yet there's only one way to find that true security. You found that in your own struggle. You found a freedom when you let go and, as it were, let God.
Yeah, and again, it was a long journey, so I'm not pretending that this is a simple, quick fix. And that's what I try to outline in the book is, you know, it was a 20-year journey for me from the devastation of losing a job and really being in so much debt that we were on the brink of bankruptcy to 20 years later actually having more money than I ever thought I would have, ending a business relationship only to find the lawyers telling me that I once again needed to be prepared to lose everything, then to the depths of the experience I talk in the book of contracting cancer and God really taking me on a journey to the place where understanding that the here and now is not our reality. eternity, heaven is our true reality. We're here for a moment, as Jesus says, and we need to live in light of that.
We're talking to Rick Dunham. The book is Secure. We're going to have Rick Dunham back on throughout this month as we continue talking about where our true security lies, discovering true financial freedom. The book Secure, available for your gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute. You can check it out on the World Wide Web at equip.org. You can write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271 for your copy, or, as always, resource consultants are standing by, that number 888-7000 and the letter CRI. Thanks, Rick, for joining us. We look forward to having you back on the broadcast later on in the month.
Thanks, Hank.
And we'll be right back in just a few moments with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. As always, the number to dial to get your question answered live today, 888-ASK. Hank translates to 888-275-4265. We'll be back after the break with answers right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
Secure is the personal and powerful story of Hank Hanegraaff's close friend, Rick Dunham. And it's a book that shows how you can discover real security based on something besides your paycheck, possessions, or portfolio. Secure is our thank you for your donation to help CRI create more broadcast books and other resources that share the essential truths of Christianity. Your partnership matters, so please call 888-7000-CRI to give your gift and request your copy of Secure today. 888-7000-CRI. Stay with us. Hank Hanegraaff will be back with more right after this.
Are you a Christian looking for a phenomenal Bible app? The Word of Promise Bible app may be exactly what you've been looking for. You'll experience the Bible like never before. This free app includes the entire New King James Bible text with powerful search capabilities. For example, you can look for a word like love, and every verse that includes love will appear. Also included is the entire two-hour audio Gospel of John featuring world-renowned actors. This two-hour audio Gospel of John is fully dramatized with sound effects, with an original music score, and is synchronized to the text so that as you hear this powerful audio theater, the text appears verse by verse. Receive your free Word of Promise Bible app today at equip.org.
God wants you to know true financial freedom. To live a life that is fully at peace, no longer under the weight of worry over money. To know, deep within, you are truly secure. Yet, there's only one way to find the real and lasting security you long for. Secure is a powerful and personal book by Hank Hanegraaff's close friend, Rick Dunham. And Rick shows you through his dramatic personal journey how real financial security isn't found in the amount of your paycheck, how many possessions you have, or the size of your portfolio. And Secure is our gift to thank you for your donation to support this Bible Answer Man broadcast. So call today to request your copy of Secure and experience the financial freedom, personal peace, and genuine security God desires for your life. Call 888-7000-CRI. Are you the product of millions of years of unguided, purposeless natural processes? Or are you created in the image of a loving God? Faced with the overwhelming scorn of evolutionary proselytizers, it can be hard to articulate the truth about God's creative work. And even among faithful Christians, many misconceptions linger. The Creation Answer book by Hank Hanegraaff puts answers to the most hotly debated origins questions right at your fingertips, giving you clarity and understanding. Learn to articulate the truth about our origins clearly and compassionately when you request your copy of the Creation Answer book. Now the Creation Answer book is available in an unabridged audiobook format. So order your copy of the Creation Answer book on audio CD today by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org.
know that the Bible Answer Man broadcast you're listening to right now is made possible by the generosity of friends like you? That means your support truly matters. And when you give today, we'll show our appreciation with a copy of Secure by Rick Dunham. Secure helps you discover how you can experience the financial freedom, personal peace, and genuine security God desires for your life. Call 888-7000-CRI to give your gift and request Secure now. That's 888-7000-CRI. Now, here's Hank Hanegraaff with more of the answers you need today.
Thank you much, Randy. Before we go back to our callers, let me mention that if you're an existing member of the monthly Bible Answer Man support team, please consider helping us out this month with an extra gift. We're still trying to close a funding gap. You can be a solution to that very problem. If you're not a member and you see the life-changing impact of the Christian Research Institute, please prayerfully consider joining the monthly Bible Answer Man support team today for a monthly gift of $25 or more. I'll be pleased to send you a personalized copy of my book, The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition. If you already have that book, you're welcome to ask for another, and I'll be pleased to personalize that as well. Let's go right to the phone lines. So many of you hanging on. We'll go to Shane first in Georgia, listening on the World Wide Web. Hi, Shane. Hello, Shane. Whoops, I guess I don't have Shane. We'll go to Don in East Bend, North Carolina, WTRU. Hi, Don.
Hi, Hank. I really appreciate you taking my call. I'm calling out of concern for a family member who has got hooked up with some ministry out of Ohio over the internet and has just turned him into he's doesn't go to church anywhere now because all churches are wrong. It's made him very critical of about everybody that I respect. He's got something bad to say about him. And he's getting this all from a ministry in Ohio called Dispensational Bible Institute and a Terry McLean. And I was wondering if you knew anything about that ministry.
Well, we do, and you're absolutely right. This is one of the more divisive ministries that one could possibly imagine. They are KJV only, for example. So from their perspective, all other translations are corrupted translations. In his view, you might as well think that the KJV came down straight from Mount Sinai, hot off the plates, as though this is the translation by which you have to test all other translations. And this is simply false on so many different levels. None of the translations are the real issue. The real issue is, are they faithful to the manuscripts that have been preserved? And when the King James was first commissioned in 1604 and then completed in 1611, we didn't have the wealth of biblical manuscripts that we have today. And as a result, there are some mistakes in the KJV. This is not to say that they're critical mistakes, but it's to say that we're constantly looking at the manuscripts for translations in the present that most accurately communicate the infallible, inspired autographa or originals. So in his KJ-only, very divisive position, he is just misinformed and dead wrong. He's also wrong with respect to his view of ultra-dispensationalism. It is a mid-axe view of ultra-dispensationalism that's misguided and simply incorrect. And certainly we shouldn't make this an acid test for orthodoxy anyway. These are kinds of things that we can debate vigorously, but ultimately we don't have to divide over as brothers and sisters in the Lord. So it's a very divisive ministry on so many counts.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that because I don't know really what to do because it just seems brainwashed. And I went on the internet. I found it, and you know they claim that they stand alone as a bastion of doctrinal purity. They seem to undermine everybody else so that they'll follow them.
Well, they are hardly doctrinally pure. And remember that the church has always been united. The church has always stood together, shoulder to shoulder on essential Christian doctrine. That's why we say in essentials unity, non-essentials liberty, and in all things charity. The secondary issues are issues that we can debate vigorously. We ultimately don't have to divide over. What we're united in is essential Christian doctrine. But this group has a very cultic view of their own theological superiority, and it is a view that is hardly buttressed by knowledge.
Does he pastor a church?
You know, that I don't know. I'd have to look into that.
Yeah, I see. Well, do you have any advice on how to handle this? Because he really doesn't listen to anybody anymore but this guy, and I'm very concerned.
You can't talk anybody into listening to you. What you can do is prepare yourself. Always be ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within you, and do that with gentleness and with respect. So if you're prepared, the Holy Spirit will give you opportunities, if not with him, with someone else.
I see. Well, thank you. I really appreciate it, and I enjoyed your interview. I'm going to get that book.
Well, thank you, Don. God bless you.
Thank you.
Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Greg in Frisco, Texas, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Greg.
Hey, good afternoon, Hank. Appreciate you taking my call. I wanted to get your take on, you know, one of the classic, I would say, doctrines of Protestantism, and that's the one of sola scriptura. I ended up leaving Protestantism and joining the Catholic Church over this particular issue, but, you know, guys like you hang on to it, and so I wanted to kind of have you explain one of the scriptures that I hear used to defend sola scriptura and the one that gives me trouble. So, and that's 2 Timothy 3:16, you know, where it says all scripture is God-breathed. And this, to me, when I hear evangelicals and Protestants trying to defend sola scriptura, they cite this scripture. But to me, it has some problems. And I guess my first question is, do you ever use that scripture to defend sola scriptura?
Well, I don't typically use that scripture at all. I mean, the idea here is that the scriptures are sufficient for equipping the Christian to live the Christian life. The idea of sufficiency here means that the scriptures alone are able to do the equipping. But as far as the sufficiency of scripture is concerned, I would point to Jesus Christ and the disciples who are constantly appealing to the Word of God as the final court of appeal in passages like Matthew chapter 4, where Jesus said, "It is written, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." And passages in which Jesus rebukes the Pharisees for not accepting sola scriptura and for negating the Word of God indeed by their traditions. He says, "You have nullified the Word of God for the sake of your traditions." And he was referring specifically to the traditions of religious authorities who use their traditions to misinterpret the Word of God. So traditions are fine, but they should always be tested in light of a court of arbitration. And we say that that is the infallible repository for redemptive revelation, which is the Word of God. And I think also the Bible constantly warns us not to go beyond what is written, or as Moses put it, you shouldn't add or subtract from the Word of God. This is reiterated, of course, throughout the Word of God in terms of a principle. So I think everything God deemed necessary for faith and practice has been preserved in the Word of God, and the question I always ask is, why would God leave out important revelations from the Word of God? So yes, I think the Scripture is sufficient for faith and practice.
Okay, yeah, the problem I have is this concept that the Word is only to be found in the written form, and Scripture says differently. Scripture says, stand fast to those teachings that we have brought to you, whether by writ or by word of mouth. So the Word of God, you know, it's sort of like electricity on a wire. It's not really the wire that's got the juice. It's the electricity, right? And so Scripture itself isn't inspired per se. Rather, it's the gospel that it conveys that is inspired. And so that gospel does not only come to us in the written form, but also, as Scripture itself says, through the oral traditions. And so I struggle with that in hanging on to sola scriptura.
Well, I do think that the Bible is the infallible, inspired word of God. I mean, this is what Peter said when he said, above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation, for prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. And so what we say is that we now have a canon, and that it is infallible. Now, this is not something that we're calling for with respect, as I mentioned earlier to a caller, with respect to translations that we have, but to the autographa, which God has sovereignly deemed to preserve in a corpus of manuscripts, and that has now, particularly with the wealth of manuscripts evidence that we have, it has emerged unscathed. And so even though we're not claiming infallibility for the translations, we do say that the translations do get us back to the autographa in a very sterling fashion. And we also recognize that that the Word of God is built on the foundation of the prophets and the apostles, with Jesus Christ himself the cornerstone. So we have this repository by which we can test all things. Instead of having to test things in light of the fallible words of human beings, we now have something to test the words of human beings against. And that's what I always tell people to do. When I say something about the Word of God, when I give an answer, I'm telling people, look, test what I say. But how do they do that if they don't have some North Star by which to test? And I certainly believe that the Word of God is certainly that.
Yeah, and as a Catholic now, I wouldn't disagree with it. Disagreement we would have, though, is that the Word is only in the written form. We think the living body, which is the Church, is the ultimate deliverer of the Word. Part of it's in Scripture, text, and other of it is through the sacred traditions. The very same Word, the very same Gospel, coming at us from two different mediums.
Yeah, and I certainly respect that, but the reality is, if you look at the popes who have spoken ex cathedra or from the chair, you find out that there are contradictions. When you look at the Word of God, you do not find such contradictions. And therein, I think, lies the ultimate issue. The Word of God is infallible, it is trustworthy. Human beings, whether me or a pope or anyone else, we're not infallible, and therefore we should be tested.
Yeah, I know we're limited on time, but I think guided by the Holy Spirit, human beings are infallible because the Holy Spirit is infallible. So that's our take on it. Fallible human beings guided by the infallible Holy Spirit.
Well, I can address that in brief if you want to listen in as we come back from the break. I mean, that is an important point, and it should be addressed. I will address it when we get back from the break. We'll be right back in just a few moments with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Thank you for your call, Greg, and again, do remember that this is a ministry supported by listeners just like you. Without you, we can't do what we do. And so we ask you to stand with us, not only prayerfully, but financially. You could do that in a safe, secure fashion on the World Wide Web at equip.org. And remember, when you give this month, I'd be pleased to send you Secure, Discovering True Financial Freedom by Rick Dunham. Be right back.
You're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We'll be back live in just a few moments. Here's Hank again with a special offer.
Are you a Christian looking for a phenomenal Bible app? The Word of Promise Bible app may be exactly what you've been looking for. You'll experience the Bible like never before. This free app includes the entire New King James Bible text with powerful search capabilities. Also included is the entire 2-hour audio Gospel of John featuring world-renowned actors. This 2-hour audio Gospel of John is fully dramatized with sound effects, with an original music score, and is synchronized to the text, verse by verse. Receive your free Word of Promise Bible app today at equip.org.
We'll return with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast after this.
God wants you to know true financial freedom. To live a life that is fully at peace, no longer under the weight of worry over money. To know deep within you are truly secure. Yet there's only one way to find the real and lasting security you long for. Secure is a powerful and personal book by Hank Hanegraaff's close friend Rick Dunham. And Rick shows you through his dramatic personal journey how real financial security isn't found in the amount of your paycheck, how many possessions you have, or the size of your portfolio. And Secure is our gift to thank you for your donation to support this Bible Answer Man broadcast. So call today to request your copy of Secure and experience the financial freedom, personal peace, and genuine security God desires for your life. Call 888-7000-CRI.
Are you the product of millions of years of unguided, purposeless natural processes? Or are you created in the image of a loving God? Faced with the overwhelming scorn of evolutionary proselytizers, it can be hard to articulate the truth about God's creative work. And even among faithful Christians, many misconceptions linger. The Creation Answer Book by Hank Hanegraaff puts answers to the most hotly debated origins questions right at your fingertips, giving you clarity and understanding. Learn to articulate the truth about our origins clearly and compassionately when you request your copy of the Creation Answer Book. Now the Creation Answer Book is available in an unabridged audiobook format. So order your copy of the Creation Answer Book on audio CD today by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org.
Are you a Christian looking for a phenomenal Bible app? The Word of Promise Bible app may be exactly what you've been looking for. You'll experience the Bible like never before. This free app includes the entire New King James Bible text with powerful search capabilities. For example, you can look for a word like love, and every verse that includes love will appear. Also included is the entire two-hour audio Gospel of John featuring world-renowned actors. This two-hour audio Gospel of John is fully dramatized with sound effects, with an original music score, and is synchronized to the text so that as you hear this powerful audio theater, the text appears verse by verse. Receive your free Word of Promise Bible app today at equip.org.
Every truth seeker has questions, and CRI and the Bible Answer Man broadcast are here to help you find the answers you need. But each month, we depend entirely on God's provision through friends like you to produce broadcasts and resources you can trust. And that's why we'd like to thank you for your donation today by sending you Rick Dunham's book, Secure, a powerful resource to help you discover real peace and security through Jesus Christ. Call 888-7000-CRI to request your copy now. That's 888-7000-CRI. Here's more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much. And a quick postscript to my conversation with Greg on sola scriptura, or the notion that the Bible is the infallible repository of redemptive revelation by which we test all things and hold fast to the good. The apostles were living authorities, but not everything they said was infallible. In fact, we see that amplified in Scripture itself. And I think Catholics understand the difference between authoritative and infallible, because they make the same distinction with regards to the non-fallible and the infallible, or the ex cathedra statements made by the Pope. Not only that, but the traditions or the teachings of the apostles that were revelations written down were inspired and infallible, and they are what comprise the New Testament. So as I mentioned during the call in the last segment, what Catholics ultimately must prove, and I don't think that they can, is that the God who deemed it so important for faith and morals to inspire the Word of God, that he would have left out some important revelation from the Word of God. Much more could be said about this, but we have written about this in various places, including resources that are available. You can check out on the World Wide Web at equip.org. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Shane in Georgia, listening on the World Wide Web. Hi, Shane.
Hey, Hank. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
I had a quick question about 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1 and 2. If you could explain that in context for me, please.
Well, yeah, I mean, this is one of the most famous passages in all of the Bible where the Apostle Paul reminds his brethren of the gospel that he had preached to them, which they had received and in which they had taken their stand. And he said, "By that gospel you are saved if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you." In other words, if you really believed the word I preached to you. And if you look at the context of the passage, it is really interesting in that he goes on to say, "But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say there is no resurrection of the dead? Because if there's no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised." So he's demonstrating in this very passage that those who say they have believed do not hold fast to the teachings that he brought forth, including the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. In fact, they denied it. And then he goes on to say, if you deny that, well, you have no hope. Those who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost, and our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. So he's pointing to them as having a faith that is not genuine faith at all. Genuine faith always involves three factors. It involves not only knowledge, but involves agreement and then trust, which is to say that you are now trusting, depending on the life, the death, the resurrection, and the ascension of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, not only for everlasting life, but life abundantly in the present.
Okay. Well, I guess my concern with that, when I've seen that, I'm a Christian and I have accepted Christ as my Savior. But I have a tendency from time to time to backslide. I mean, I understand, you know, Christ is the only way, and believing in him and faith in him is the way to have eternal life. But my question is, if I go through the backslide maybe for 3 or 4 months and just really get off track and I die in a car crash or something, I mean, am I going to hell or do I still have my eternal security with Christ?
But this is not about getting an insurance policy. This is about experiencing the resurrected Christ. It is about an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. You're not only saved by his death, you're saved by his life. Again, that means that you can have life abundantly in the present. It's not about, well, do I have this insurance policy or do I not? No, followers of Christ are apprentices of Jesus Christ. They love Jesus Christ. They follow him. Now, when you say backslide, it all depends on what you mean by it. If you mean that you're in a state of sin or perpetual sin and it's unconfessed sin, that's a serious issue because you're breaking your communion with God. But the issue ultimately is, if you really love Jesus Christ, you take up your cross and follow him. Are there times in which you regress into sin? Of course. In fact, you're going to die with a sin nature, which is to say you're going to die with sins on your conscience that you have committed the very day of your death, because there are not only sins of commission, things that you do that you should not do in thought, word, and deed, but there are also sins of omission, things that you omit to do, failed to do, that you could have done. So we're going to die in sin, and our hope is not that somehow or other we're going to be in a state of just the right condition for Jesus to accept us at our death. No, we are covered by his righteousness, a foreign righteousness not of our own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. So ultimately, it is our faith in Jesus Christ and his finished work on the cross by which we have life in the present and the assurance of everlasting life to come.
Okay. All right. Yeah, that makes sense. What's your take on Charles Templeton from the Least Trouble series? Do you think he was saved? I mean, understanding his faith and how it wavered there at the end, how would you perceive him as being?
Well, I would leave Charles Templeton and all the good that he did, and certainly really excited about the interactions that my friend had with him before he died. So Lee Strobel has had a tremendous impact in that. But ultimately, Lee would tell you the same thing. We leave him in the hands of an infinitely just and infinitely merciful God. It is not our position to judge his eternal destiny. Ultimately, all we can do is be effective witnesses and leave the change of heart to the only one that can change a heart, and that is the province of the Holy Spirit.
Okay. All right, thanks for your time, Hank.
Hey, you got it. Thank you so much for your call. Let's go back to the word to the phone lines, and we'll talk next to Mark. He's listening in Damascus, Maryland, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Mark.
Hi, Hank. My question. Well, first of all, I'm a newly born again Christian.
Wonderful.
I'm only about 3 years old, and I've been studying other religions to try to figure out how why people think the way they think.
Uh-huh.
My question is, where did the Roman Catholics get the idea that the Virgin Mary was without sin? My understanding is that Jesus Christ is the only one that was without sin. Is that correct?
Yeah, it is. But there is a very sophisticated way that they have of thinking about the Immaculate Conception. They see it as a miracle of the removal of the sins of Mary, the mother of Jesus, at her conception. And therefore, according to Roman Catholic theology, original sin is passed from generation to generation by childbirth. And had Mary's sins not been removed, Jesus would have inherited the original sin. And the miracle of the Immaculate Conception, from their perspective, explains, therefore, how Christ could have been completely without sin. We find this completely unnecessary. It is true that Jesus is sinless. To be human does not entail having a sin nature. Adam was created sinless. He had the potential for sinning, but that when he was created, he hadn't actualized that sin. Furthermore, I think the Bible is explicit. However else you figure out how Jesus Christ could be born without a sin nature, the reality is this, as you pointed out in the prologue to your question, every single human being is born and conceived in sin. And that includes Mary. She knew that she was a sinner and knew she needed a Savior. And so there are no exceptions to the rule. The Bible's emphatic. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Not there are some exceptions.
Yeah, well, I'm wondering where did the Catholics, Roman Catholics, get this concept by the exegesis of the 6640 Bible, or was it from the Apocrypha, or was there some other written source that they're getting it from?
Actually proclaimed in a papal bull by Pius the Ninth, I believe, back in the 1800s. And that bull said, in essence, that the Blessed Virgin Mary, at the moment of her conception, received immunity from all stain of original sin due to the merits of Jesus Christ, the Savior of humanity. But again, I don't think that this comes from the Word of God. This is a bull, a papal bull, and this is one of the reasons that I think that we do well to test all things in light of Scripture. If we take the papal bull and test it in light of Scripture, what do we find? We find that it does not adhere to Scripture. Again, I gave one very clear Scripture passage, and that is, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Not only that, but Mary herself recognized that she was a sinner in need of a Savior.
Okay, very good. Well, thank you very much. That answers my question.
You got it. Well, thank you so much for your call. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Carol. She's listening in Washington on KCIS. Hi, Carol.
Hi, Hank. I've been reading Randy Alcorn's book on heaven,
mm-hmm.
and just wondering what you thought about, or if this is what you think, that when we eventually will end up on a new earth, but basically it will be like this earth, but a lot better without, of course, corruption and all that. And we'll have jobs, we'll have living spaces, there'll be recreation, you know, kind of like how we're living now. Do you agree with that? Or?
Well, here's the thing that I can say with absolute certainty on the basis of the Word of God. There are a lot of details I don't want to be found shouting about because the Bible simply doesn't clarify for us. But we do know that paradise lost will be paradise restored, that God doesn't scrap things, He redeems them, and therefore our bodies will be resurrected. That doesn't mean that every atom is resuscitated, but that there is continuity between the body that is and the body that will be. That is also true with respect to this universe. The earth now groans in travail. It's awaiting its liberation from bondage to decay. And when Jesus appears a second time, that is the very thing that will happen. So it is these fields, these streams, these mountains that are utterly transformed, just as we will be transformed, immortal, imperishable, incorruptible. Written about that in my book, Afterlife. We're out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Going to stay right here for an extra hour once we go off the air. Continue taking your calls. A lot of you have been hanging on for a long time. I will get to you. And for those calling in over the next hour, I'll try to get to your calls as well. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. You can start dialing that number right now, 888-ASK-HANK. I'll stay right here for the next hour, taking your calls. We'll record my answers to your calls and play them on a future edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. To learn more about Hank or the Christian Research Institute, just log on to equip.org. Equip.org is a fountain of information and resources designed to help you defend the faith and grow in your knowledge of the truth. You can also stream the broadcast on your computer or download archived broadcast. To talk to a resource consultant by phone, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274, or you can write to us, Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by the Christian Research Institute, a ministry supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because truth matters. God wants you to know true financial freedom, to live a life that is fully at peace, no longer under the weight of worry over money, to know deep within you are truly secure. Yet there's only one way to find the real and lasting security you long for. Secure is a powerful and personal book by Hank Hanegraaff's close friend Rick Dunham. And Rick shows you through his dramatic personal journey how real financial security isn't found in the amount of your paycheck, how many possessions you have, or the size of your portfolio. And Secure is our gift to thank you for your donation to support this Bible Answer Man broadcast. So call today to request your copy of Secure and experience the financial freedom, personal peace, and genuine security God desires for your life. Call 888-7000-CRI.
Are you a Christian looking for a phenomenal Bible app? The Word of Promise Bible app may be exactly what you've been looking for. You'll experience the Bible like never before. This free app includes the entire New King James Bible text with powerful search capabilities. For example, you can look for a word like love, and every verse that includes love will appear. Also included is the entire two-hour audio gospel of John featuring world-renowned actors. This two-hour audio gospel of John is fully dramatized, with sound effects, with an original music score, and is synchronized to the text so that as you hear this powerful audio theater, the text appears verse by verse. Receive your free Word of Promise Bible app today at equip.org.